Hello there, everyone. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by Adrian and Matt for another Healthy Stream episode. As a fair warning, we will spoil this week's movie in our review, so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out and come back to this later. Let's get streaming! Hello, friends!
What's up, players?
How are we doing?
Dude, it's fucking hot, man. We're in Southern California in the middle of a goddamn heat wave, and it's hotter than a warlock's dick outside right now.
I agree. Warlock's dicks are hot, too, but man.
Yeah.
Not that hot.
Not as, yeah.
A magic pole.
What's the next level above a warlock's dick? What's hotter than a warlock's dick?
My dick.
Matt's dick. The devil's taint is a step hotter.
So we go warlock's dick.
A ring of fire.
Devil's taint. And then the sun.
Yeah, then we're at magma level.
The devil's sun's taint?
I don't think that's hot, and I think you're going to be in trouble.
Well,
for
I don't know. Some of the stuff we heard last time.
People's suns being hot, I think the FBI has just entered the chat. They're listening now.
Those are all 20 of our downloads.
Yeah. Whose sun is hot? Whose sun's dick is hot? We're in.
Well, we're on a list and not a good one now.
Hey, all publicity is good publicity. Am I right?
That's what's up, FBI. Come on now.
2 years ago, I would have agreed with you.
We just want listeners. We don't care if they're wearing suits and ties and sunglasses. Fuck it. Welcome aboard.
I'll show you guys the ropes to prison.
Yeah, Matt's been studying up.
Been studying.
I wanted to do a little correction. Well, not a correction, but whatever you call it. Last week, you may have recalled that I couldn't think of a word when describing Kevin James' performance. And I want to thank everyone for writing in, and a special big thanks to the people at thesaurus.com for telling me the word was departure. His performance in that movie was a departure from his other performances. So thank you, dictionary.com. Sorry. So thank you, thesaurus.com.
Whoa, you're about to trash him after that?
it was a slip of the tongue, my dear
boy. Freudian.
Yeah. Did Kevin James was like, it was a departure, Adrian.
Yeah, it was from his personal account.
You dumb fuck. Stop. Yeah.
He can be really harsh, but it's fair. It's tough love. Well, I guess we should get right into this. So after seeing this movie.
Episode.
Yeah, it's very, very important.
It's number 20, guys.
It's number 20.
It's 2-0. I mean, this is like, we did this 20 times. I mean,
I've never done anything 20 times.
We actually did it 21 times.
Well, That's true.
That is true.
Supposedly.
We're of legal age, but we forgot our ID.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We were held back a year.
But this made me think, seeing this movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then the Bigfoot, brought an important question to my mind, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. Okay. So he almost marries a woman in this movie, which he does not.
Right.
He kills a historical figure, and then he kills a mythical creature. So I'm thinking, what if we were in his shoes? So in the spirit of the game Fuck, Marry, Kill, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, I came up with almost marry. Yeah, it's a game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
and I thought uh-oh. that was philosophy.
It wasn't instructions. It was
that was his philosophy.
I gotta go. Ooh.
So I came up with the game in the spirit of that, called Almost Mary, Historical Murder, Mythic Kill, where you pick a famous actress or character from a movie that you would almost marry, but not for some reason. A historical figure in which you would murder, and a mythical creature in which you would kill. Are you guys game for this?
I'm game for it.
Let's do it.
All right. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first. Or Matt. Matt, you go ahead.
All right. I think for the person that I would almost marry, I think I would go with Eliza Dushku, because I used to have a massive crush on her. She used to be super fucking hot.
Of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back fame.
Oh, come on. Smoking.
Ooh, all right.
And what was that movie when she was the cheerleading? Bring It On? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
One of the classics, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was smoking. I used to have a big thing for her.
So part of the question, though, was why would it not work out? What would happen?
She doesn't do much work anymore, and I'm extremely petty.
Not making enough money for
her? Not enough.
You're looking for a cash cow, so to speak.
There you go.
I'll bucket big time now.
All right. Well, that's fair.
I'm in the biz. She was in the biz.
You guys had a torrid romance, but then Matt was like, I'm tired of picking up your slack.
It's time to go.
I gotta go.
Wheels in the sky keep turning, baby. Yep. Let's go.
That's right. All right. Fair enough.
And then as far as killing a historic figure, I'm going to do everyone on this show a favor. I'm going to kill Joe Rogan.
Whoa.
Oh. Yeah. What's your reason behind that?
His listeners must dissipate. They must departure to other podcasts. Oh. This is where we swoop in. This is it, guys.
You're looking for market share, huh?
I got you.
Like, I'm doing everyone a favor here.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, Joe. I just want to say, I don't agree with his methods, but I see where he's going. And,
if they have to leave there, their obvious next choice is here.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much the same show.
Where else would you go? Yeah,
pretty much the same show here, right? It's the same. It's Joe Rogan and then this one.
This might be my last. As far as a mythical beast... Ooh, I've had a score to settle with this one for a while. I'm going to kill that fucking monster from Colossal for ruining poor Jason Sudeikis' career. That poor motherfucker had nothing to do with that. He got roped into it. Everyone's blaming him. I got your back, Jason.
Oh, so you're killing not the beast. You're killing
Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Yes. Joe Rogan and Anne Hathaway are eating it.
Under my thumb.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, interesting choices.
Clearing the way for you guys.
Well, I disagree with a lot of those, but, hey.
Not that I haven't heard before.
Yeah. Yeah. But shockingly predictable for Matt.
Yeah. Very on brand, though.
So I'm going to go with. So I think a historical figure, man, I tried to come up with something.
Historic?
I'm talking about killing a historical person. And I tried to come up with something witty or funny, but I just don't see how you don't kill Hitler. It's Hitler is the answer. I couldn't do anything else besides
always thinking about yourself.
You think they nailed it in this movie? Like if you're going to kill somebody, Hitler's the guy to kill. He's the it guy. He's got that it factor when it comes to murder.
I even asked my wife, I said like, well, who would you kill if you could go back and kill? She said Osama bin Laden. And I was like, all right, that's a good choice.
Again?
But then I thought it was funny because it's like you have one power to go back and kill. And I'm like, what about all the millions of Jews that Hitler killed? And she's just like, yeah, but I'd kill Osama. And I was like, I mean,
we all have our preferences, man.
You realize like you're basically, it's almost like if you don't do it, you're killing all those people, right? Like if you don't go back and kill, if you have the choice to stop Hitler. And you choose somebody else, you've just done it again. You've killed all those people, right?
You're not helping me right now.
Yeah, I know.
I want you to know you're making my next section very uncomfortable by doing this.
I'm saying that's the only way I could. I was like, I don't want to say Hitler because I feel like it was done in the movie and it was like, I mean, it's the go-to answer. But then I thought, I'm like, there is no other answer. So I had to stick with my...
I have to disagree that there is at least one other answer.
All right. Fair enough. I'll hear you out. If I had to have a romance with a actress or celebrity that I would almost marry, I think it would be Katy Perry. You know, I've always found her a bit attractive. I think what would happen was she'd just be a little too into kissing girls and it would really drive a wedge between our relationship.
She just likes it more.
You're not open to like polyamory.
I'm open, but I feel like it would be, I'd always have that kind of jealousy. Like she's like, man, she really likes kissing that girl.
Yeah. Like her cherry chapstick.
Yeah. She loves it. Yeah.
It's delicious. How can you not like that?
I think it would always kind of be in the back of my mind. And that's why we eventually broke up. Sorry, Katie.
Tragic tale.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate for her.
What a loss. What? I'm sure she'll be devastated.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes we just grow apart, you know, just like two different clouds in the same sunset, you know, just
it's not you, it's me not wanting to be with you.
And if I was going to kill a beast. So when I heard this question, I thought my immediate instinct was like, which one could I kill? You know, if it was me and Bigfoot in a ring.
Wait,
like,
Bigfoot from which movie?
Well,
Harry and the Hendersons.
I mean, in any movie, he's fucking me up. So that's why I didn't take Bigfoot.
Did you watch this movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he didn't have Bigfoot.
Hardly a Bigfoot.
Yeah, he looked like one of those monkeys.
A Muppet.
From, Land of the Lost or what was it? He looked like, wasn't there like a pet? Like, I think they just reused the fucking costume from Land of the Lost. But so I picked a chupacabra because I was like, man, I would fucking, that thing's not scary. I would kill that little. Like a little, what, like a Mexican?
They suck the goat, the guts kills out goats. Of goats.
It's like a little bat cat.
It doesn't just kill them, it sucks them dry.
I'd fuck that thing up.
Slurpee.
I'd kick it. Just kick the fucking thing in the head. Boom, wow. Done. Killed it. Right? I mean, what is a chupacabra? They're not like big monsters. They're not like...
I don't know.
Never seen one, man. I can't.
Yeah, they're always just out of the sight.
They don't exist. But I mean, as far as like mythical creatures...
Whoa.
Let's not spread misinformation here. Let's just say we don't know if they exist or not.
Have you ever seen $1 million?
You know what's cooler than $1 million? $1,001,000.
That's true.
Fuck, man.
Just world facts.
Upside down.
It's like somebody with $1 million feels broke right now. Like, damn it.
Damn. You think you fucking make it.
Yeah. There's always one more step. It never ends. I think I could fuck up a chupacabra. I have fucked up. I have fucked up a chalupa before.
Yeah, but who has the last laugh? Yeah. Who out of that fight has the last laugh? The chalupa does.
It does. It always comes back to get you in the end. No pun.
And that sucks you dry.
Yeah. So I would fuck up a chupacabra with a chalupa in my hand. How about that?
Fair enough.
It's impressive.
Adrian?
All right. Well, yeah, let me tell you. So for the lady that I would almost marry, I'm picking Scarlett Johansson playing Deanna Moran in Hail Caesar.
Okay.
The movie from the Battle Royale.
Gotcha.
And I think it's pretty clear why that wouldn't work. She is having a child out of wedlock, which is completely unacceptable and I will not stand for. So it's not okay with that.
What if it's your child?
Like I said, I am not okay with it. We will not be together.
You're gonna bail on her because she's carrying your child out of wedlock?
She should have been more careful. I'll agree that.
All right.
So, you know, that settles that. And then...
Yeah, obviously.
Easy. Clearly.
Clearly. I mean...
End of conversation.
No, there's no argument in the other way, obviously. No,
nope.
It's just, yep.
That is it. So when we're talking about historical figure to kill, I think I might have found someone worse than Hitler.
Whoa.
And that man is Ethan Zuckerman, the man who invented the pop-up ad. This motherfucker changed the world for the worse. And he may not have killed that many Jews. I'm not sure how many he did. You know, I couldn't find that information.
The Wikipedia page wasn't updated. So
it didn't have anything listed that I could find. So we don't know how many.
He maybe through a roundabout way, right? A pop-up ad is pretty goddamn fucking annoying.
I'm not saying he did or didn't. I'm saying I couldn't find that information, so I can't really say either way.
Yeah. And it's overshadowed by the horrible things he's done anyway.
Yeah, he's definitely done some bad things. So I would definitely like pop up somewhere when he wasn't looking and murder his ass.
That's a just cause.
I agree with you, but I feel like it's one of those things where if you murder that guy, like if not him, then someone else will come up with it. Like,
oh, you feel us. Like it's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I might be the next guy like comes up with a pop-up ad like, hey, I should just... Yo, this will make me some money.
Market's clear.
I might have bought us a few months.
Yeah.
Which is a notable cause.
Fair enough.
All right. And lastly, the mythical creature, this is going to be kind of awkward because I picked the same one as you, Wes. I picked the chupacabra because I'm tired of this thing sucking off all these goats. And I think if I just had a rifle and I staked that thing out, I feel like I could place one right between his eyes. I keep in mind, I have no skills with firearms whatsoever, but I feel like give me a month to train. I can hang out down in Puerto Rico. I can get a ghillie suit and just wait for that fucking thing. Look for some goats, wait for them to get sucked off and just bam.
Right when he gets eyes. Sucked off.
Yeah, the goat sucker.
What a way to go.
I mean, we agree then that of all the mythical beasts, the chupacabra is the pussiest of all of them, right?
Well, I feel like it would be the most fun to hunt. You know, it feels like an actual animal you could like stake out. And you know, it sucks off goats. So you just find some goats looking to get sucked off and then you just sit and wait.
That's how it gets them.
You wait unsuspectingly in a goat costume with your dick out.
Yeah. And I'm just holding a gun to it like, all right, just another couple minutes and you're dead, man.
Hey, Adrian, why'd you let him finish?
Gotcha.
Why'd it take you 30 minutes to shoot that thing?
I didn't want to be too conspicuous.
Yeah. Had to make sure it was the chupacabra.
You're like, actually, he's not that bad. I think I'm going to go talk to him again next week.
Yeah, all the goats would be like, God damn it. We love that little guy.
Yeah. Oh. But, you know, he's got to go.
I agree. Fuck the chupacabra.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was a fun exercise, guys. I feel like we know each other better. And Adrian, you are responsible for the slaughtering of millions of Jews. So,
well, we don't know that. Wait, all right, I'm going to have to... Can we start this episode over? I feel like... I feel like I don't want this out in the world.
So, yeah. So, did you guys do any extra credits work? Anybody watch any extra credits other than the credits we were supposed to be watching?
I watched Gladiator was on recently. I watched that. I haven't seen that in a long time. That thing was pretty cool. Again,
were
a good
you
movie.
Not entertained?
I was entertained. I was entertained. It was a very good movie. I forgot how good that movie is. The movie's pretty sweet.
Solid action.
Is that the one with Kurt Russell or Russell Crowe? I forget which one. They're
like, Russell Crowe.
Yeah, their names are just too similar.
Are you not entertained? Yeah, it's a good movie. So
Joaquin Phoenix yep. is, was he?
It's actually funny because he's sitting a lot in the movie.
Joaquin was?
Joaquin was sitting.
He wasn't Joaquin that much in the movie.
Sorry. Slow. I'm a little tired tonight. Yeah. My bad. Got it. Joaquin.
Get your shit together, man.
And also, fucking aliens. Are you guys not fucking seeing this shit? Pentagon releasing some alien shit? Did you guys see this?
I did miss that.
You guys didn't see this article at all? New York Times coming out and saying that, or some guy. That knows some guy.
Hold on.
That works the New York in a shady Times building.
Or some guy?
Yeah.
Which is it?
I mean, it's a credible
all
source.
Some guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the New York Times releases an article from some guy. I can't quote these guys, but they said some very quotable stuff.
Being?
It's saying basically that they have some materials that they are saying that are not man-made. They're not from this world. And they are referring to them as craft and vehicles. What do you guys think about that?
Huh? I feel like if this is real, I feel like this is easily the best time to fucking say something like that. Like, like, right. Yeah, like, totally. Like if COVID, like you've got a new pandemic that's just sweeping the world. You've got riots. You've got race tension. You've got all this stuff. I mean, people are so we're like. Can we go outside? Like, what's going on? And then somebody's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's aliens. I mean, it's probably the best time for the government to do it because everybody's just be like, what? Huh?
Yeah. Not aliens right now. We got other shit to deal with.
Yeah. It's like, we don't have time for this.
Put the aliens on hold.
You're just going to be, there's what? Oh, yeah, there's aliens. We have one. Yeah. Anyway, back to COVID.
Yeah. We're very busy right now. We are going to bookmark this and we will revisit in 2 years.
Let's table this. We'll talk about it next year. Like what? It's interesting. I definitely have. I've gone down the rabbit hole a few times and watched some of the documentaries and watched some of the footage and the.
It's extremely fun.
Yeah. You know, I've listened to the preaching of Tom DeLonge.
And, yeah.
All the small things like aliens. Yeah. It gets interesting. It's something that I'm excited to see what more comes out. We'll see. You know, some guy.
The very credible news source, the New York Times, right?
or some guy.
Why would they lie? Or some guy. So yeah, that's basically all I've been doing with my life.
Great.
Tinfoil hat time.
Awesome.
Adrian?
I have some streaming news here. So by the time this is released, HBO Go will be gone because it went away July 31st. So
I've heard this.
So I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I don't know what I have to do to see HBO. Like, yeah, that's an option, but I usually put that like second or third on the list of things to do in the case this happens. But yeah, so I really don't know. Do I have to get HBO Max now? Do all our listeners have to get HBO Max? Is there another way?
So are you a subscriber
to FShareTV.com?
And we're going to take a break and talk from our sponsor, FShare.TV.co.com.
Don't go there, guys. Don't go there.
Don't do it. No, but like definitely someone is a subscriber to that. And what do they do in this case?
Well, are you a paid subscriber to HBO Go, or how are you?
I'll repeat that someone is a subscriber to HBO Go.
I'm also in the similar boat.
Yeah.
I pay for HBO through our cable, but I'm a Roku user out here in my Healthy Stream studio, and
the compound.
The Healthy Stream network where I'm at currently, and Roku is dropping the same thing. There's the HBO Go is no more. That you have to have the HBO Max, which is not available on Roku. And I'm a paid subscriber. So
just to clarify, what is the difference between HBO Go and HBO Max?
Oh, don't go down this rabbit hole. No one knows.
I can tell. So HBO Go is if you are a HBO subscriber, you can use HBO Go to watch on a device like your phone or
it's like, it's like a DVR with everything on demand. Okay.
HBO, was it Now or Max. HBO Max?
Yeah, Now.
Well, that's the new one.
Oh, there's three of them.
Yeah,
there's
now,
two now.
Now, HBO Now was a paid subscription that you could pay $10 a month. You basically have HBO, everything that they offer by itself, not through a cable subscription.
See. So if you didn't have cable, you could still order HBO.
Yeah, it's like a Netflix for HBO. Well, that has gone away. Now I guess it's something to do with Cinemax, right? That's the HBO Max. Is that?
Well, HBO owns Cinemax. So right. I think they're just combining them into one.
Mm-hmm. So you get all of HBO and all of Cinemax's content for a low, low price of insert sponsorship here.
Yeah, I assume it's the same 10, 15 bucks a month, whatever they were charging before. But if you, like myself, have it through cable, the app's gone. So you can't.
So you're out of luck.
Yeah, I can watch it on my TV, but I can't stream it.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
It's kind of it's a situation.
Definitely. Do you know how much it would be to subscribe to HBO Max? I haven't looked into it
because I subscribe through cable. So it's kind of like, why would I go buy if I'm not going to buy it a second time just to watch it on a, you know, like a Roku or smart TV? Like I would just say, well, F this. I'm just going to, you know, I don't know.
Don't use language like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would drop the F word, you know,
I would say F this S. I am not doing it.
This is some poop. I'm sorry for cursing.
I mean, those are strong words, and I feel like I'm not going to be able to watch any HBO now unless I somehow get convinced to subscribe to HBO Max, which I don't know if I'll be doing or not. So we'll just have to see how things go.
Strange. Exactly. That's kind of where we all are at, is just kind of to see if what they do here. I mean, weird.
Yeah, because there are a couple of HBO movies in the randomizer, so could become a thing.
That's true.
Next in streaming news, Hulu has a whole new site design. I don't know if you guys had a chance to check that out. I mean, our movie this week was on Hulu.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I actually don't like it.
Really? I'm more of a fan than of the old one.
You're more of a fan of the old one?
No, the old one was almost unusable in my opinion. This one seemed a lot more user-friendly. I was introduced to a lot more things that I was interested in and wouldn't have found in the old setup. So
I like the old one better than Netflix. Maybe I just got used to this one. I was like, what the hell? Just looked off. And I didn't know they had changed it. Maybe that's why.
I saw that they changed it, and then I used it to watch the movie, and I didn't pay much attention. I didn't notice the changes as much, but
It still works.
Fair enough. It'll give you something to look forward to next time you get on Hulu.
Yep. Other movies, though. Did you watch anything else this week, Adrian?
Yes, I did. So for movies here, I watched the 2020 film Fatal Affair on Netflix.
Ooh,
this is
good.
Starring Nia Long, Stephen Bishop, and Omar Epps. This is not a great movie, guys.
No.
I know what you're thinking.
It's called Fatal Affair, right?
Yeah. It's called Fatal Affair. It's not the best movie. I gave it 2.5 stars. It's a classic stalker goes after a girl and won't let her lose him and all that. You know, that specific trope. Mm-hmm. Like, she's married. Yeah. He becomes obsessed with her, and now he tries to kill her and all that. You know, check it out if you want to throw something in the background. Nothing of real substance there. And the next movie I got here is the 2019 film The Assistant on Hulu. This was recommended to me through the new site design. Not super crazy about this one either.
Another strike.
Another strike. But this one's Hulu. That one was Netflix. But basically, it's about a girl who's working at an entertainment company. And her boss is clearly just like fucking every single like actress that comes through there, and like everyone in the office kind of knows, and it's making her really uncomfortable. She doesn't know what to do, and she like goes to try to do something about it, but nothing really comes of it. The whole movie is basically like watching someone go through their office job. It's like a documentary filming someone doing an office job, like her making copies, her making coffee, her cleaning. It's really fucking boring. Mm-hmm. Really boring. So if you want to see someone do their job, their boring job, this is a great movie to check out.
Sounds gripping.
Yes. Yes. Very gripping. And then I got a series. Have you guys seen Homecoming on Amazon Prime? Second season.
My wife is a huge fan of that show, and I caught glimpses of it here and there. I kind of know the premise, but my wife is a giant fan of that show. She watched the first one, and then she saw the second one with, what's the actress's name?
Janelle Monáe.
There you go. Yeah, Janelle Monáe. She's a singer, right? She's also like a music artist.
I am not familiar with her other work, but she looks very familiar.
Yeah, I've seen her. I mean, I remember she had a song. She's somebody I've like paid attention to because I think she's like a really good talent. Like, she's like a good singer and good musician, and now apparently a pretty good actress. So,
yeah, this show, I give a strong recommendation to this series. The first season was really good. It had Julia Roberts in it and Stephon James, and it's the basic gist of it is these soldiers coming back from war that have PTSD are being sent to this private company to do this program, and they're basically trying to wipe their memory to, this is a bit of a spoiler, so please, I've already spoiled it at this point. They're trying to wipe their memory so they can send them back to war with them willing to.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's
sort of like the movie you watched last week with Vin Diesel.
Yeah, it actually is a much better version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bloodshot. Let's not bring it up. Let's not ever talk about it again, actually. But yeah, strong recommendation. If you guys get a chance to check it out, it's really good. The second season is pretty different from the first one, but it's also very, very good. It does take place in the same timeline. And lastly, I got some garbage reality TV to recommend to you guys.
Ooh, dish it out for us, man. Dish it
Season
out.
Season 11 of Married at First Sight is out, and it's 3 episodes in, and this is some hot garbage you guys need to watch.
I'll tell you, we're already on the boat, bud. That's one of our regular rotation. My wife and I, on Sunday nights, when we're like, all right, kids are bed, let's watch some fucking trash. That is on the rotation. I haven't seen this season yet. I don't know.
Oh, man. You're in for something. It has a hippie chick with armpit hair. It's got really, all the couples are pretty weird. And they just showed a preview of what's to come in the season. And COVID hits during it. So they end up being stuck in quarantine together at some point, which I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Oh, man. I'm seriously excited to go tell my wife about this. Like, there's a new Married at First Sight. Like, we've watched that since we got together, and we should start our own podcast about the shit we talk about, the people on that.
Yeah, I'd be down to do that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all I got.
Well, cool. I watched one extra movie this week. This was out of the book, and which is the reason I sought it out and watched it.
Which book?
Out of my 1001 movies you must see before you die. This is from 1915. This is like one of the ones in the front of the book. This is a movie called Birth of a Nation. And if you've heard of this, it's a extremely controversial film because this movie is, well, let me tell you a little bit about it. So this was this is a movie from 1915. This was very controversial when it came out, and still remains a very controversial movie. It's directed by D.W. Griffith, who was a pretty popular director back in his day. But this movie is based on a book called The Klansman. There's no other way to say this. Basically the Ku Klux Klan in this movie are the Avengers. They're the good guys. Yeah. So when you watch this movie, and like I said, I sought this out because it's in the book, and I just figured, all right, well, I gotta see this. It's a silent film. There's no speaking. It's obviously black and white. This thing is over 3 hours. I had to find it on YouTube because I think like most of your streaming sites won't play it because of the controversy surrounding it.
Weird.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I found it on YouTube. I watched this thing. It basically took me 3 days to finish it just because it's 3 hours and it's a silent movie. And it's, I had to kind of watch part of it and then something would come up and I'd leave and I'd come back and then I'd watch the end.
Did it have music?
It does have music. And actually the music was the best part of this movie because I guess, so an interesting fact about this movie, this was the kind of like the first epic in movies, kind of like a big 3 hour, like almost like Titanic, you know, like a big epic long movie that everybody in the country was going and seeing. But in 1915, obviously slavery was already abolished. And so there was a lot of protest because of the message of this movie. And
what was the message?
So the movie is basically at the end of the revolution, the South is overrun by African Americans and they cause so much havoc that the Ku Klux Klan has to come in and like fix everything. Like that's the racist message of this movie.
So it's like a propaganda film.
It exactly. It could be considered today racist propaganda. Yes, but it's this 3 hour epic silent film that back in the day they were. It was also the first one to have more than 100 extras on set. You know, during a Revolutionary War fight, and then he did a camera trick to make it look like thousands. So like special effects wise at the time were, you know, outside of anything anybody had ever seen. I mean, the movie itself, if you watch it just for the time period it's in, you think like, you know, it's like, wow, this was this big epic movie. But the message of the movie is so far not something anybody would agree with. You know what
so
I mean?
So it's kind of just a movie that's famous for having a lot of firsts and everything, but it just happened to be in the worst movie ever for that to, yeah, to be first on.
And supposedly D.W. Griffith kind of didn't really care much about what the story was about, but he wanted to shoot this thing because he saw like, oh, I can make this big epic story out of it.
That's the way he went about it.
I'm telling you,
choice there, D.W.
I chose not to give this thing a star rating because I thought you can't, you know, if you give it a one, you know, you're like, you're not really being fair to like what you actually saw. But if you give it, if you say like, hey, this was a good movie, despite the premise, then you're know what I mean? So I just said,
you can do like 5 stars and write in the review only for the camera work !
Right. I mean, and it's hard to give old movies scores anyway, because I mean,
you're judging really them by today's criteria. You're going to have some
when you watch them. And I mean, the acting obviously is like they're talking, but you have to wait till the black screen pops up to see what anybody said. And everything's based on these emotions. It was an entertaining movie. I mean, I got through the 3 hours. I don't know if I'd recommend it. It's something to be seen.
Apparently it's one of the best 1000 movies ever made.
What? Yeah.
I think that was the one. That was the one. 1001. Yeah.
Yeah, 1002 is like, this fucking thing beat me?
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg movie.
I would, if you're a movie fan and you like film and the history of film, I would say watch it because it has its place. But I'm telling you, man, I mean, the portrayal of people of color in this movie is
very bad. So you could probably look up scenes on YouTube and just, it's comical. I don't mean it as like, I think it's funny. I just, it's so bad that it's so off what you would think of anything today. So,
right.
But what it made me think of and what I wanted to ask you guys, you know, in thinking about it and trying to judge this movie, I thought, well, like, how much does the premise of a movie really have to do with how good it actually is? Can you separate something and say, imagine Tarantino or Scorsese or a great director came out and he said, well, you know, I'm going to make this movie about the flat earth and it's got the great actors. It's a great story. And they discover that the earth is flat. And you're like, the premise is so something that I don't agree with. Can I still enjoy this movie for what it is?
I don't like you getting so political on this show. I want to start with that.
Because that's an opinion.
Yeah. We're not dealing with facts here. We're dealing with your opinion now.
Yeah. I think all the right. answer is that it depends. It depends. If it's done well and it's good, you can give it credit where credit's due for how the movie's made. And you should be able to appreciate that point of it. But, you know, if there's a premise is so out there and it's so bad, you can definitely ruin the movie by doing that as well.
If it offends you, that's what I mean. If the premise is so far, it's like offensive. Can you still just separate it and say, this movie is in this universe, whatever they're portraying on the screen doesn't necessarily mean it's in the real world. Can I watch this and take it for what it is in the universe that's on the screen and accept it for the story that it is? Or do you have to apply it to your real world?
No, you don't have to apply it. But if it just depends on how it's being presented. You can do things in ways that are disagreeable or controversial without being forcefully offensive. Like the intent is to offend rather than, you know, I'm going to bring up this thing and it's a controversial subject. You should still be able to talk about that and still be able to show it and still be able to make a movie about it. You should be able to do whatever you want without, you know, censorship of offense, like offending someone. I think you should be able to do and say whatever you want. That's what makes this place great. But I think that
this place, you mean this podcast, right?
Yeah, this place. Yes. This, yeah. No, okay. My house. You come in here and do whatever the fuck you want. It's awesome. No. But if your intent is to go out there to offend and your intent is to be a dick, it might still be good depending on who's if Tarantino makes it, yeah, I'll probably still watch it. So
that's really what made me think of it, because I thought, well, you know, if you can separate, obviously, you go, I don't agree with how these people are portrayed in this movie or how, but can the movie exist in its own universe, basically? I mean, if you think about Tarantino movies, Hitler gets killed in the end of Inglourious Basterds, right? And that mm-hmm. we all know that didn't happen. But in that universe, you
can hear a lot. Yeah, Adrian let him live.
that was in Adrian's time. Brad Pitt had to take care of it. Cause
yeah, thanks a lot. He almost got through.
But guess what? I'm using my computer with no goddamn pop-ups. I'm not saying that's equivalent, but I'm saying I'm enjoying it.
I also want to live in a world without pop-ups.
I'm not saying it's a trade-off. I'm saying I made my choice. I can't go back on it. Yeah. So I'm going to enjoy the positives of my decision.
There you go.
But all right, I have something to add to this. So this isn't exactly about a movie. But you guys may have been with me, or you may have not, but I was at a bar, a sports bar one time, and I had this idea that I'm going to put this song on the jukebox that's going to make everyone very uncomfortable. The song being Daddy by Korn off of their first album, which is basically about the lead singer's neighbor molesting him as a child. And it's very Jesus. Uncomfortable. There are parts where he breaks down crying in the song, and it is weird, man. Do not listen
definitely
to it.
Definitely not a sports bar song.
Yeah. So I did that. I'm like, this is going to be, I was kind of a dick when I was younger. So I'm like, this will be funny watching everyone be really uncomfortable. So I turn it on, and my premise is this is going to make everyone uncomfortable. This is going to be very funny. So I turn it on, and then I look around and I see like half the bar singing along to the song. And I'm like, what the fuck is this place I'm in right now? Where I don't understand the rules anymore. My premise didn't work. But that's still funny though, right? So I got the end result, but my premise didn't work.
The tables had turned.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it can be like the premise can be bad and right. still get the desired effect.
Or an alternate effect in this case. Like you said, if mm-hmm. it can be so bad that they came in with this intent to make, say, a racist movie yeah. or a or something a that you just don't agree with. Yeah, and it ends up the result is so bad that now it's comical. It doesn't necessarily matter, right? The premise didn't actually end up mattering.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's my argument towards
it's that. It's open for interpretation. I mean, if you take the example of the movie The Room, his intent was to make a serious movie, mm-hmm. and he was successful in making a comedy.
True. Very true. True. Very funny. Very true.
It's a cult classic now.
Yeah. It just was something interesting that came to me when I was watching this. I just kind of, because I disagreed with the premise of the movie so much, I thought, well, if you really are watching this and taking it for the movie's sake, can you separate premise from quality of movie? So, well, let's get into this movie then, huh? Let's get into the one we watched, which was The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then The Bigfoot.
Thank you.
Not
a very Bigfoot. Serious discussion we ended up. What a segue.
Adrian, I believe this was one of your choices.
Twas.
And I want you to defend your decision. Why did you decide to make us watch this fucking movie?
I need answers.
All right. I'm going to give you guys what you want, which is the reason. So when I first saw the title of this movie, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a ridiculous fucking movie. That was my first thought. But then I'm like, okay, Sam Elliott's in it. He generally doesn't do movies like this. So this might be interesting to see a different take on this type of movie. And it has lots of good actors and actresses in it.
Yeah, Ron Livingston popped up.
Yep, Ron Livingston, Caitlin Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we had Aidan Turner, who I think all did a really good job in it, but
The acting wasn't the problem.
No, it definitely was not. So yeah, no, that's the reason I picked it. I thought, okay, this sounds like a weird, like grindhousey type of movie just based off the title, but it's full of like good actors. So I was really interested to see how that would play out. And that's all I have to say about it.
I'll go ahead and talk. I thought this movie was boring as fuck.
So boring.
I think at some point I did fall asleep and then woke up when he first shot Bigfoot in the head. And I thought, because like the gunshot alerted me to like wake up. And I thought, oh, that was quick. He just fucking shot. Like he goes out into the woods. Oh, I'm supposed to kill Bigfoot. He blasts him in the head. I wake up. I'm like, well, that's over. Movie's done. Like, good job. But he lived. Man, I don't know. I found myself thinking about what Sam Elliott's diet is. I was basically running through a lot of mental gymnastics to keep myself entertained. I thought the monkey suit that was on that Bigfoot was, like I said, would look like from Land of the Lost. I mean, I agree, Adrian. I thought going into this, like we were going to have some ridiculous Velocipaster type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they made it so fucking boring.
How? With a premise like this, how do you not put some sort of goofy entertainment involved in this?
Let me ask you this. Were we supposed to believe that Sam Elliott... So it seems to me, and maybe I read this wrong, but it seems to me that Sam Elliott was struggling with the fact that he shot Hitler. Was there some sort of torment in his...
He's getting old.
It wasn't so much that he killed Hitler. He didn't want to kill anyone. And in his speech, he went to say how him killing him didn't even matter because there were basically like four of them. And the last one was the coward that ended up killing himself. So he was saying like, I did it. It didn't matter. So I just took a life for no reason. And the real heroes are the soldiers on the front line who stormed the entire place.
Fair enough. But would you still feel bad for shooting a version of Hitler? Like to me, it just, I was like, I'm not going to connect with this side of this character that he's, oh man, I had to shoot this guy, but it was fucking Hitler. Like yeah. If you had to shoot somebody, that's the guy to fucking shoot.
I get that, but
right
I do have
below
some...
the fucking clickbait ad guy.
Yeah.
Obviously. Just obviously.
One step away. But I do actually have some. It is Ethan Zuckerman.
That guy is probably like, bastard. Oh, fuck. He's listening to this podcast going, oh, shit.
He actually did come out a few years ago and officially apologized to everyone, and it didn't go well.
Was it through a pop-up? It like popped up on your screen. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry about this, guys. This will be my last one, I swear. This is my last
one. Click to close in 5 seconds. Yeah,
yeah. That's how I did it. But I do have some insider information on this movie that doesn't make it better, but it might help you understand it a bit. That this movie was initially supposed to be a action comedy, kind of how we expected it to be. But the director went through some pretty serious personal losses.
Huh.
Some heavy shit. And he decided to rewrite it and make the whole movie basically a metaphor for a person who's lost something, who's dealing with grief.
That is interesting. It's a different, I mean, it makes more sense, but I guess how does something like that come about? If you say, I'm going to make this movie, I've got this script, and you know, your studio finances it. And then you say, I'm flipping a bitch on this, and I'm going to make it a drama. Like, I mean,
yeah, I think that's what happened. I think you nailed it. You nailed it.
Figured that one out.
Like I said, it doesn't make it any better, but it might help you understand a little bit better. It's not going to, you know,
really make you enjoy it more. This. It was a complete miss to me. It was seriously one of the most boring. I think that does have to do with the fact that you're waiting for.
Well, it's the title, right?
For this crazy concept that it's you're going to kill Hitler, then Bigfoot. Yeah. Well, and the premise.
It's not called like The Old Man. It's called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot. I mean, just the title alone suggests like we're going to see both of those things. If it's like Snakes on a Plane, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what you're getting. This movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot. Like, yeah, I guess he did both of those things, but. It's not about that, but it's not even about that.
Was that Bigfoot?
It was Bigfoot. I don't know.
How come Bigfoot's smaller than Sam Elliott?
It's an artistic interpretation of Bigfoot.
Adrian seems to be defending this movie. I think he liked it.
I didn't really like it, but what'd I'm saying I gave it 3.
Oh,
the only reason I think like the first hour or so is fucking super boring. But once he starts hunting Bigfoot and that Bigfoot fight scene, it made me laugh quite a bit. So
yeah,
I bumped it up a little bit. I'm like, I think at least director, I got a payout.
He left the comedy part in that right there. What spilled out on the ground when he was like stabbed him with a knife? Like, was that a liver? What was that thing that
fell on the... barfed all Cheerios on him.
Oh yeah. The barf scene.
Oh, that's what the whole movie should have been.
I agree.
That was so out of place.
Because the whole movie didn't make any sense until that point. Then you're like, here we go.
He's fire hosing cat piss all over his face. Like, just from two stabs in the gut. And then they show like a little, what was that, a liver? I don't know. What fell out?
It's like an ear. It's like a bitten off ear.
No, he bit off his ear. Yeah. Okay. His ear.
Well, I saw the bandage at the end, but I what the fuck? I don't know. It just kind of clipped in real quick.
Yeah, it's really
what
strange.
What the fuck was that?
I noticed that too. I was like, what the fuck?
Hey guys, I have my issues with this movie too, and I want to get into it, okay? I'm not the poster child for this movie. I'm not out there holding a sign saying this.
I mean, 3 stars.
This is a good movie. 3 stars is like average. And I'm saying it redeemed it a little bit with that whole thing just of how ridiculous it was. But okay, I'm gonna start with when he starts hunting Bigfoot. I'm gonna skip all the boring
stuff. You're gonna start with the actual movie.
Yeah, the actual okay. movie. So he's tracking him, right? And he finds his shit and he picks it up and he's like, oh, he's a vegetarian. He says he's a vegetarian, right?
I'm Sam Elliott.
Yep.
He ate sausage before.
And then you see all these animals just fucking tore apart as he's walking through there. It's like, is this Bigfoot just an asshole tearing animals apart if he's not eating them?
He's a chupacabra.
Yeah. Oh, he's sucking them off. So, like, that didn't make much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, like, Bigfoot fakes his own death, which I think is funny. Yeah, yeah. He just like tries to lay there.
Machiavellian Bigfoot. doesn't he light him on fire? Like while he's
yeah, that's when he like gets up and runs away because he tries to light him on fire.
You almost expect. Man. I like the final scene too, where he kind of talks to him, and Bigfoot's just like laying there, like on his knee, like I didn't want it to be this way, Bigfoot.
It's a very romantic end.
Like, yeah, he just.
But they had such a respect for each other.
That bullet to the dome worked. The first one, nah.
Well, I mean, the guy killed Hitler, so this is like a formidable adversary for him. He's like, okay, I didn't want to do this, but I had to take you out. So there's that moment of acknowledging that he was a worthy opponent, you know?
Jesus Christ.
I think he loved him. I think he might have loved him.
He loved Bigfoot.
I think he did. I think
did
he
loved
him. Did
you think he chupacabra'd with Bigfoot? They were chupacabra-ing.
I don't think they showed the entire scene, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, they kept cutting back to the wife that he almost married. Maybe that was the allegory. He found his real love with the red-haired monkey.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in there. And so, you know, obviously the vomiting on his face is fucking ridiculous and funny.
I mean, out of place, right? For this movie, like the whole thing is a bore.
The only thing that was in place for this movie. Yeah.
That's why I'm saying that's why it bumped it up when it got to this whole scene, because I feel like it delivered on the title. Well, I don't think like the acting was bad or anything. I do agree. No. It was boring. It was pretty boring. I did enjoy the shaving scene early on with the world's worst barber. That dude.
Yeah, it really made you mistrust barbers in this movie. They're just like a barber, like always they putting a knife to your neck like I could kill you in fucking 1 second. Holy shit. Like you're a barber.
Yeah. Then he goes on that whole speech about how if he nicks him, he will succeed. But if he doesn't, he will fail. But he can't do it on purpose. It has to be an actual accident. And then at the end, he just cuts him and says, we're both fucking cursed. You're going to succeed.
Oh, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm like that fit in with the title. Something ridiculous like that. I was hoping it would keep going that way. It didn't. It really, really didn't.
Fell off, yeah.
But after the Bigfoot scene, they're having his funeral. He just shows up and there's no addressing that whatsoever. He just like faked his death and then he's like showing up at school plays and no one seems to care.
Yeah. Right? It's a small town. Everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
And now he's just walking around the town like, hey, Sam, how are you? What the fuck?
Yeah, hey, I'm fine. No, don't worry about that. I fake my own death. That's fine.
Oh, right on. All right. Well, hey.
Yeah, like take his brother care. Paid for his funeral and shit.
See you at the play tomorrow night.
I didn't get that. I'm like, is somebody going to say something? I kept like looking around my room like, is somebody going to say something to this guy? But no, they didn't. And then you might have noticed he was checking his shoe pretty consistently throughout this entire movie, taking it off and looking at trying to get the rock out of his shoe. And at the very last scene, he finally gets that rock out of his shoe.
Typical climax move.
That was really what I was worried about the entire film. Like, man, can we just get this guy's heel some relief?
How's he even going to fight the Bigfoot?
Have like you this? Ever had a rock in your shoe?
It's annoying.
Oh, I have.
Oh, yeah. It's enough to drive you mad.
It's worse than fighting Bigfoot, that's for sure.
I agree 100% on that. But I read that was a metaphor for him killing Bigfoot, that he finally had gotten that rock out of his shoe. Bigfoot's dead.
Jesus Christ.
Why? Why? Okay. Why? 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 Like, that's my whole question with this movie. Why did I watch that? Like, what? What?
Because I picked it.
Yeah. I mean, no. When it ended, I just thought, like, okay, the guy killed one of four Hitlers and then Bigfoot, but he was sad about it the entire time.
But I do think it brought up an important question. Do you guys think Bigfoot's responsible for COVID-19?
I do. Because wasn't there was a mention of, like, that's why they needed to kill him, right? Because he was,
yeah,
He was infecting people.
He had a virus that had jumped to humans, and everyone was dying in that area that they sealed off. And they needed to kill him before he broke out, or the president was going to fucking drop a nuke on his ass and take out that whole area.
So, and then he barfed on his face. And he's COVID-free.
Sam Elliott for sure has COVID.
Wait. Hold up. The reason they picked him is because he was immune to it, because the army had kept some of his blood and tested it to see. And he was like one of the few people that could actually go in there without dying. And all the other people had died. And he was the last one left. So there is an answer for that.
I must have been sleeping through that part.
Yeah.
I need to watch this movie again. No, actually, you know what?
We're going to take a break here. These guys are going to go watch the movie again. And we're going to pick it back up.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it makes a difference.
It definitely does not. All right. Well, do you guys have more to add to this?
No, I think I'm just going to score it. I gave this a 1.5.
Wow.
Below average for me. Like Adrian said, I think the acting was fine. I mean, Sam Elliott, if you've ever seen Sam Elliott in anything, he's Sam Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Livingston pops up. There's nothing really problematic with anything the actors did. It's just a fucking shit, boring movie.
Wow. Harsh words.
Very harsh.
1.5.
Matt?
5 stars.
No. Wild card, Matt.
This is my least ranked movie. It's my lowest score. I gave it a 0.5 star. I was extremely bored throughout this whole thing. I like you a little less as a person now, Adrian.
That's fine. There's not much there.
Yeah. I think the problem is just what we said. It's like that you have this title that really makes you think that you're getting into this fun, goofy, over-the-top movie. And like you said, Sam Elliott, you don't expect him to be in that. But
wouldn't it be fun if he was?
It would have been great if he was. He could play a really good role in that. It's like, oh, you know.
I'm going to shoot tough. Myself a goddamn. Yeah. I just shot Hitler. Now I'm going to shoot me a Bigfoot. Like, that's funny. I would watch that. That's
great.
I'm not disagreeing with you guys.
Okay.
All right.
That's a better movie.
I'm misplacing my rage. I apologize. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Is that all you have to add?
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, you guys know mine. I gave it a 3 stars. And frankly, I had no problem with the acting. I do agree it was boring through probably the first hour of it. But I enjoyed it once the whole Bigfoot ridiculous. I feel like it didn't redeem the entire movie, but it definitely made it a little less painful that I watched that first hour seeing that. And I'd still rather watch this movie than High Flying Bird. I'd watch this movie over High Flying Bird any day of the week. I don't care. That movie was terrible. And not they that like that's both the boring. Point of this, but yes, they're both very boring. But one of them has a Bigfoot fight scene. I'd rather see that.
There you go. There is no arguing with that. There was no Bigfoot fight scene in
you
High
heard
Flying
it
Bird.
Here first.
Yeah, spoiler for High Flying Bird, but
Sam Elliott was also not in High Flying Bird.
Correct.
I'm gonna play some basketball.
It would have been awesome if he was.
It would have been better.
Definitely.
They should have added Bigfoot.
Hey, watch me drop this J. I'll just hit that 3. You see that, you pussy?
All right. That's enough, Sam Elliott. All right, guys. Well, that pretty much sums up how we felt about the movie. Adrian, I believe you might have some facts about this movie that you want to...
Yeah, we need to check for sure. I think the time is coming near. The facts aren't always crystal clear. But it's time that we illuminate to the max. And check the fucking facts. Check the facts.
Great.
That's right. It is time again for the fact check section.
Hell yeah.
Where I present you some facts and you have to check them for the correct answers.
Let me check these facts. Let me see this facts butthole. I'm going to scope this thing out.
You will not be seeing any buttholes today, but I have 3 facts that I need you guys to check for the correct answer. Let me take that again. Just kidding. We're sticking with it. So the first fact we have is this film clearly doesn't take place in present day. It takes place during World War II. And what other year? So
are you going to give us
A?
Okay.
Yes. These are all multiple choice, just so you know. So A,
Let me ask you this also. Are you buzzing us in or are you going to call on one of us?
I will be calling on you. You do okay. not have buzzers that I'm aware of. If you do, we can do it that way.
I bought a buzzer. Did I fuck up?
Yes, you did. You fucked up. All right. We are talking about the timeline that Sam Elliott is currently living
West
in.
Buzz in
the movie. So, A, 1969. Nice. B, 1974. Nice. C, 1987. Or D, 1992. Matt, we are going to go to you since Wes seems pretty anxious.
I'm going to go with B.
B, which is 1974?
Yes.
Okay. Wes?
Wes is counting right now.
I gotta let me take my shoes off. I need to get up over 10. Here's what I'm doing. 1940, Elliot was, he was probably a 20-something-year-old guy when he killed Hitler.
Possibly, maybe in his teens, late teens.
When he kills the Bigfoot, he's maybe in his 60s. So I would assume 40 years has passed, 1940s. I'm going to go with what's the closest one to 1980?
There's 1974, C. B, and C, 1987.
87's deep, but I'm going to go C, 1987.
1987. All right. Are you ready for the answer? C, 1987. You got a point, Matt. I'm sorry. That is not right.
I just want everyone to see how my math skills were on display there. That's how I figured that out.
You got close with your math and guessed right.
Fucking
congratulations.
So fucking disappointed.
Yes, you should be in yourself. All right. Fact two, Sam Elliott did most all his stunts, almost all of them in the movie. Mm-hmm. Which one of these stunts did he not perform?
Killing Bigfoot.
A, let me get to the multiple choice. So A, Bigfoot throwing him into a rock. B, Mugger slamming his head into the car. C, Bigfoot vomiting onto his face. Or D, getting his hair cut.
Wait, so getting his hair cut was a stunt?
Well, you saw that barber.
That's true. Yeah. He was a maniac. I'm gonna...
I'll let you go first this time, Les, since you seem so eager.
Buzzer.
Can I buzz in?
Buzzing
around.
Buzz in. Okay, you're buzzed in.
I'm going to say, I feel like Sam Elliott would not want to be barfed in the face. I'm going to say C, barf in the face.
So C, Bigfoot vomiting onto his face.
Yeah, I don't think he's down for that.
All right.
Fair. Can you repeat, what was B again?
B is the mugger slamming his head into his car.
A.
A, Bigfoot throwing him into a rock.
Do you remember what A was?
Throw him into a rock.
What was B? No, it was A.
All right. And the correct answer is A, Bigfoot throwing him into a rock. Matt, we are at 1-1. This one could leave it at a tie or you could have a win.
This means a lot to me.
So fact number three.
I wish I could gamble another force feed. I'd gamble you so fucking
you cannot,
hard, dude.
You do not have anything to gamble.
If I had a force feed, I'd fucking gamble you.
I would put it on the line. You. I would put I it on the you. Line, but I have plans for my force feed. So
you're spending force feeds before you even got them.
Yeah. The next two already spent.
All right. So fact number three, Bigfoot wasn't always thought of as a tall ape-like creature. Which one of these choices best describes the first accounts of Sasquatch in the 1920s? A, a giant black bear. B, four kids in a trench coat trying to buy alcohol. C, an escaped zoo gorilla. Or D, a giant Indian.
Whoa. Out of fear.
I'm going to go with Matt. Matt, you're gonna get it.
Oh, think.
Say it.
D.
You know it.
D, a giant Indian. Okay.
I think Wes? People were fucking crazy.
So either an escaped, like an escaped gorilla or a giant Indian. Native American.
Which one?
Keep
in mind, this is the 1920s. That's the only reason we're referring to him that way. Much like the movie you watched earlier this week.
Which was even later.
It was before. 5 years. Can I hear the answers again?
Yes. A giant black bear. B, four kids in a trench coat trying to buy alcohol. C, an escaped zoo gorilla. Or D, a giant Indian.
I gotta go with D.
Thanks, buddy.
So we got two Ds.
Double D.
And you were both right.
Yeah.
That's the correct answer. So we do leave in a tie in the fact checks question. And that has been Fact Checks.
Hell yeah.
Nicely done.
Good stuff, Adrian.
I thank you.
That's a great segment on the show. We love it. I mean, no one likes a tie, but you know what? Well, I still have your force feed from last week, so I declare myself the winner.
Fucked up.
Not sure you can do that, but...
Well, I can do whatever I want, because guys, this is the reason people are turning into this episode. No one gives a shit about fucking Bigfoot. What they're turning in for is to see some goddamn bloodshed.
They're turning in for what?
They're turning down for what? They're turning this podcast down for what?
To not hear us.
Yeah, because it sucks. No. We are doing the Battle Royale, guys. This is it. This is what everybody's tuning in for. This is the pay-per-view. This is the Sunday night fight. And you'll remember the premise of the Battle Royale was I picked a movie that you guys both said you liked. This is one of your top fives, The Big Lebowski. And I wanted you to come up with a movie that you would show as either a opener or a follower to that movie, something that would you would pair with that movie. Not necessarily better or worse, but pair with it. I've watched both your films. Matt, you selected another Coen Brothers movie called Hail Caesar. Adrian, you selected a movie called I Don't Feel at Home in This Earth Anymore. Is that
World?
World. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's fine, actually.
I'll tell you this. Between the two movies, I preferred Adrian's movie. But yes. But God. here's a solid but. That doesn't matter for the premise of this game, because you remember the premise was which one pairs better. Mm. And on that front, I'm split down the middle. I need to hear arguments. So I'm going to let you guys take it away. I'm going to let you present your arguments. You can roast. I don't know who wants to go first. You guys, anybody else buy buzzers?
Jump in here.
Anybody buy a buzzer?
Let me just jump in. You also added that you wanted to see some sort of beverages and drink included in this.
Food, beverages, yes. Yeah,
did you not see those delicious looking finger sandwiches? This is very important.
I did. And I
also, yes. A hell of a Mai Tai was quoted in this movie.
I don't remember that.
A delicious Mai Tai.
But the finger sandwiches did stick out to me, which these are bonus points that I was going to get to later in the segment. But I think you won based on the food portion. I did think the well, you're going to be allowed to.
Face was priceless. I think we should just wrap.
I remember the finger sandwiches.
Remember the finger sandwich.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead and take the ammo away from Adrian. He's gonna chime in about the beer. They're always drinking beer in his movie, right?
They were. I actually have a list if you'd like to hear it.
Well, if you want, let's go tip for tap. I'll let him go. Go ahead.
All right. Hang on.
This thing is spiraling out of control. First, let me control this here. First, what I want you guys to do is address the number one issue in the room. Why is this movie one that would pair with The Big Lebowski? Adrian, go ahead.
All right. So my movie would pair with The Big Lebowski because it is a very similar plot and has very, very, very many things in common. Like the dude drives an old car. He drives a 1973 Ford Gran Torino. And Ruth, the main character, and I Don't Feel at Home This World Anymore, drives a 1979 Pontiac Firebird. Very similar. They both smoke weed. They love it. Property is stolen from both their homes, and they're both attempting to recover it. There was a raccoon in one scene, and that's kind of like a marmot.
Okay.
This is a fucking
violence towards fingers and toes. That's another common thread.
Wow. There you go.
They both have a sidekick with an obsession. You have a Vietnam War in The Big Lebowski. You have the karate in I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. They even have the same sunglasses. Or not. I don't think they're sunglasses, but regular glasses. They're both going to a wealthy person's house to try to get things back from them where things spiral out of control. And they both have a bored, rich wife in them. So a lot of it's very on par with The Big Lebowski.
That was a solid argument, Matt.
That was pretty good.
That was a solid argument.
Well, look, there's a kidnapping, a clear kidnapping. They're always talking about commies. He's kidnapped by a bunch of communists.
Okay.
They got the clear food beverage thing lined up.
I feel like Matt. I feel like
hey,
Matt
wait, wait, I'm not done yet. Hold on.
Okay.
It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Okay. True.
The tone of the movie is very similar.
In what way?
Well, very like melodramatic, subtle comedy, funny. Except for the fact that Hail Caesar is not nearly as good as the big one.
I do want to ask you, and don't feel like this is going to lose you points, but
promise me it won't.
Like I said, it doesn't matter. The quality of the movie is more like why it matches. But as far as a Coen, because I know you like the Coen brothers as much as I do. I mean, one of their worst, right?
It's one of their worst movies. Yeah. Unfortunately, it really is. That. It really is.
Yeah.
Like, I think that you could make an argument to pair it with it because it has their tone to it is the only way I can really say it. It has their tone. Their frequency. I hadn't seen the movie, obviously, so it was the first time watching it. And I have to agree, I liked Adrian's movie better, slightly, but neither of them were that good of movies, to be honest. And especially, it sucks when you're comparing it to what I think is one of the best movies of all time. It was a Coen Brothers movie. I don't really know how, Adrian just guessed, obviously. And not to mention some of the stuff that Adrian's been saying about you behind your back.
I've said great things because I didn't want to feel like I was kissing his ass. So I just said them behind his back just so it would be out in the world. So people would know that about him.
The thing is that I actually have some of those things that Adrian said and he didn't know, but I recorded them. So I would like to go ahead and play a couple of voicemails that maybe Adrian has left for me.
Interesting turn of events.
Just to see if we can go ahead and play this. This is Adrian speaking. He left me a voicemail.
Hey, this is Adrian. I just give you a call before the big battle royale and just wanted to go over a couple things because I've just been thinking a lot and I really hate Wes. I hate everything he does. He's a real dirty guy. He stinks. He looks funny. He always looks funny. And I know that you probably don't feel that way. You probably like him a lot, but I just got to get it off my chest. I hate him. I hate everything he does. And, yeah, don't share this with him. Okay, bye.
First of all, I want to say I do not remember making that phone call. I apologize.
I mean, clearly...
I had to have been blackout drunk because I don't remember that at all. And I want to apologize to
you. That was clearly you.
I want to apologize. I didn't mean it. I was drunk and I was probably just trying to show off for Matt, you know, how I do. I do that. I'm always trying to, you know, make him like me because he doesn't so much. So I thought if I called him and put you down that he would like me more. But, you know, I didn't really feel that way. So I apologize. I don't remember doing it.
Apology accepted, but, you know.
It's kind of a fucked up thing to do.
I mean, I really don't like that you put that on there after I asked you not to. I feel like that's fucked up on your behalf. So how can Wes trust you at this point if you won't do things that people ask of you?
I'm for the right. And honestly, I have proof of him asking me not to do it. Here we go. Voicemail 2 from Adrian.
It's Adrian again. And I was just thinking about the last message that left you in there. I figured you probably gonna try to play it. I don't want you to do that because I don't want you to know, or I don't want Wes to know that I really fucking hate him and he smells and such that I said. So just want to make sure you don't play it. And I'm gonna say I didn't say that on your voicemail. I'm gonna say I never said that. That wasn't me. And, you know, obviously we all know it's me and I said it and I believe that stuff. So don't say it. Don't play it. And, don't show many of this. All right. Bye. Don't tell them. Bye.
Adrian, why do you sound like a 1949 miner when you like somebody mining?
You know, what's
gold.
Really weird is there's Dr. Phil clearly playing in the background there, and I do not remember watching Dr. Phil anytime recently. I must have been super blackout drunk, and Dr. Phil must have just been...
Oh, excuse me, you bleeping bitch.
I don't remember that one either. I don't think I mean, obviously it's recorded, so it's real, but yeah. I don't like, remember.
Why would it, so. I lie?
Yeah, he clearly has no motive. So all I can do is apologize. I don't know why that happened. I don't remember doing
it. You sound like you're out of your mind because you're talking like you've been picking away at a gold mine in the 1940s.
I clearly have black lung fever in those recordings. Yeah. So yeah, I all I can do is apologize. I don't remember doing it.
Accepted. But don't ever do it again. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well,
put character into fucking place here. You know, it's.
I wanted to bring up a few things about Matt's movie whenever you give me the chance to do that.
I would love for you to go ahead and do that. This is a segment, part of the segment where you guys can go ahead and trash each other's films.
Okay. Well, first, Matt's movie is just shoving religion down your throat, which I didn't think I was watching a freaking Christian movie, but apparently I go in there and it's all this hallelujah, praise Jesus, all this talking about how he's portrayed. It's just, I'm not a door-to-door Bible salesman. Why do you need to hear that, Wes? Why do you need to hear that? Why did he make you hear that? That's really uncomfortable for you. And I was really looking out for you there. That's it's not good. I know he tried to win you over by putting in a Channing Tatum hot musical number, and that, you know, that'll win anyone over. I get it. But, you know, he's just pandering. He's pandering. And that's all there is to it.
My favorite part of the movie, actually, was Channing Tatum sailor scene.
I knew you'd like that.
Then he made sure that Alison Pill and Tilda Swinton, two people from Snowpiercer. So he's just trying to ride your love of Snowpiercer, how it won you over. He's sneaky. You can't trust him. The guy's just putting everything in there he can do. He's working every angle.
Tilda Swinton in that movie was awesome playing two different people. Thought it was funny.
Absolutely. I agree. But he did put Jonah Hill in it.
Whoa.
And I did. We know about your aversion to him from The Beach Bum.
No.
It's kind of like.
I don't want to get out there that I hate Jonah. I like Jonah Hill. I just thought he was bad in The Beach Bum.
Right. So he's like, I'm going to find another bad performance of Jonah Hill and make you watch that and relive all those feelings that you had when you watched The Beach Bum. The negative parts of it. Other than that, Matt's movie is fucking boring. I felt like I was watching The Man Who Killed fucking Hitler and then the Bigfoot. It was really, really boring. I didn't care for it. I felt myself holding my phone a lot, and, you know, I don't know how you viewed it, but it was hard. And plus, George Clooney's drink is drugged in it, so I feel that should be negative points toward the food and drink section because he was actually drugged, and that's not safe.
Fair enough. Matt, do you have some shit you want to talk about Adrian's movie?
Yeah. This motherfucker put Frodo Baggins with a rat tail. Thinks he knows karate. All right. He's got some boring chick that thinks like, oh, everything's fucking bad on me. She goes back to her fucking place and she gets robbed, right? So she seeks out fucking the most like shittiest confrontation at all to get her laptop back. And that's how this whole thing spirals out of control. People get shot in the head and you're worried about a drug drink. None of that shit needed to happen. Adrian?
I'm not saying that that makes up for the drug drink. I'm saying that the drug drink needs to be taken seriously. I don't care what happens everywhere else. It's a serious offense. And we can't be just brushing it under the rug like Matt would like to do. If someone's drink is drugged, you need to address it head on.
Let's talk about the rat tail. What's worse?
I fucking loved his character. I thought he was hilarious. So I think the rat tail was a great touch to that guy. It was kind of like the Big Lebowski sidekick. He was ridiculous too.
Over the top, yeah. But I gotta say, look, the truth of the matter is, The Hail Caesar was not a good movie.
Well, remember that doesn't necessarily matter.
It does pair better with The Big Lebowski. If you went to a drive-in theater and you were going to watch The Big Lebowski, and they're pairing it with one of those movies, it would be paired with Hail Caesar. This is a Coen Brothers drive-in. Owned and operated by the Coen brothers.
Do they have white Russians at that drink?
They have white Russians and finger sandwiches.
All right. I'm going to weigh in. Here's how I'm going to score this thing.
Oh, I have a question real quick before you do that.
Okay. I'm ready.
Did you know that Macon Blair wrote, directed, and made a cameo in this movie?
I'm a fan of Macon Blair, and I saw it was his directorial debut. He also had a very funny cameo where he spoils that book to the lady.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. And yeah, I loved it. I'm a Macon Blair fan. I want to see that guy like get like super famous. Like, I think he's cool. But still, like I said, does not matter in my final decision because the quality of the movie is not what's at stake here. It's more.
Just let me chime in real quick. I remember Adrian saying something about Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was talking shit.
He was in your movie.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in our movie, but our movie.
Our movie? Are you guys communists now?
I like that. Man, that's some scales. That's sales skills right there.
That's communism.
He's using our, like, yeah, you know.
Yes, Wes. Will you talk to our wife for us, Wes?
I mean, you were a fan. You were a fan of Superbad, right, Wes?
I do enjoy Superbad. I actually wrote
Jonah Hill actually in Superbad, he makes a reference that he doesn't have a luxury of having the Coen brothers direct porn in his porn videos.
Yeah.
He later, this is his first Coen brothers movie. Mm. So he nicely angled himself to be in there for us.
We don't know that's speculation, Your Honor.
100%.
You guys, I got to tell you, man, I'm split down the middle here. So I'm just going to tally up the points. Cause I really, you guys both have good arguments, and I'm honestly,
I haven't been able to go over the bonus points for food and drink.
Well, let's get into that now. That's where I was getting to.
All right. Well,
shit.
So I made a total count of 12 Coors Lights, 1 burger, 3 mixed drinks, 6 big red sodas, 1 squeeze yogurt, 2 plates of breakfast, 1 meth, which is a food supplement, 1 bowl of cereal.
Meth,
where they smoked meth out in the woods. That's a supplement. Yeah, like people do that instead of eating. Yeah, they do it instead of food, Matt. It's a supplement.
He's trying to squeeze meth in.
Wow.
1 bowl of cereal, 2 cappuccinos, 1 Kraft single, and an unknown number of burgers on the grill at the very last scene.
Fair enough.
And that's there. That's it.
I'll have everybody remember the point was, in The Big Lebowski, the White Russian
iconic drink.
Right. It's something you remember. Not necessarily they ate a cheeseburger at one point. In-N-Out was in the movie as well, right? But no, everybody remembers the White Russian.
Yeah. Well, if you want to do that, then she drinks Coors Lights pretty consistently, and he drinks Big Red Soda consistently throughout the entire movie.
I think on that point, I'm going to weigh in for Matt. I'm going to give him the ham sandwich. The finger sandwich was
iconic.
In that movie, I remember. Iconic.
What are we doing here?
If Matt's movie ever became a cult classic, people would take finger sandwiches to it.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
It's not going to happen. I'm gonna weigh in though with a point for Adrian's sake on his argument on how it matched, you know, better with the movie. So. I got 1-1. If I'm not missing anything, is everyone done? Are we settled?
Yeah, I think we're done except for the final.
All right. Well, I'm going to
give. Depending on how you decide.
Well, look, this one's close, guys. This one's super close because I could see the way it goes both ways. And I know I said it doesn't matter, like, whether I liked one movie better or not, but it does. So I'm going to take Hater's movie.
Fuck me.
I did.
Well, we still have the final bonus point, right?
What was the final?
The bonus? Fact that we have to present about our movie. Oh,
you could sway the art. If you win this extra point here, Matt.
I kind of gave mine out already, but I have another one.
Yeah, Adrian's right.
I gave mine with my Jonah Hill.
He's ahead by a half a point. If you can stump me, I might be forced to give you the win.
I would have to not stump you too.
You would have to not stump me. So, man, this just got interesting. This is the bottom of the ninth, runner on second. Mac can bring him home.
Well,
let me look up.
I already gave it. It was my Jonah Hill. I just threw it in. Oh, it was too early. It's premature.
Well, ask him again now.
Try to stump me.
Jonah Hill referenced a Coen Brothers movie in what 2007 film?
Superbad.
You're fucking brilliant, dude.
All right, Adrian, can you
Let me throw this in there.
All right.
Let me, which I think you'll appreciate. Hobie was having dinner with Carlotta. He starts using a spaghetti noodle as a lasso to an entertainer. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And that is an ode to old spaghetti westerns.
True. Well, what is the question?
True.
Also, the
correct answer. Correct. Yeah, good luck, Adrian.
I think I suck know on where that. This is going, yeah. But yeah. All right, let me present my fact. So in one of the final scenes where the protagonist, Ruth, is running for her life through the woods and is confronted by a snake in the water that later kills Marshall, how many snakes were used to film in this scene? This is multiple choice. A, 0 snakes. They CGI'd the snake because snakes are not real. B, 3 snakes. C, 5 snakes. D, so many snakes they lost count.
He's trying to trick you, man.
Well, I would go with number one, but snakes are real. So,
but once again, you're just throwing out your opinion on things and not sticking to the facts.
Snakes aren't real. I've seen snakes.
And that's an opinion piece. I mean, we're not going to solve that tonight.
For a different podcast.
Yeah, that's.
I'm going to go with B. 3.
B? 3 snakes.
0 snakes.
You are correct with 3 snakes, but it doesn't matter because Matt didn't stump you.
We'll give Adrian the win on that one. Adrian has won.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Matt, you were hanging in there, man. You did way better than I thought you would. And your movie sucked, but you did a good job comparing it. Got to say, you did a great job. But in this instance,
I don't have to kiss your ass anymore. Fuck you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Hey, when it's your turn, I really like
it. I hold grudges. Yeah, yeah.
So who'll be the judge next week?
Who is it? I think it's... Is it Matt?
I know who it is. I'm a fair god.
We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Well, guys, you know, it's been fun. We've been outlandish. We've been crazy. We've been sometimes a little zany.
Offensive.
Offensive. I mean, there's things that I definitely feel like I should apologize for, and I should go back to my God and say, I shouldn't have done this. I've been acting in a way that is not holy on this show. And for that reason, we need to repent. We need to look upon ourselves as if you were to look upon your son and say, you little shit. Say you're sorry.
Look what you did, you little shit.
Yeah. Say you are sorry and repent to the goddamn randomizer. Adrian, I think you especially owe some apologies for making us watch that stupid ass movie.
Apologies. Apologies.
I can't believe you gave him a fucking win because of that.
Look, it had nothing to do with that and you know it. But I digress. My offering this week will be the 2017 film Anna and the Apocalypse on Hulu. It is starring Ella Hunt, Malcolm Cumming, Sarah Swire, and Christopher Lavie.
Who?
So the synopsis of this movie is a zombie apocalypse threatens the sleepy town of Little Haven at Christmas, forcing Anna and her friends to fight, slash, and sing their way to survival, facing the undead in a desperate race to reach their loved ones. But they soon discover that no one is safe in this new world, and with civilization falling apart around them, the only people they can truly rely on are each other. So this is a musical for you, Wes. That's why I picked it.
I am going with a 2012 film, Arbitrage. Arbitrage? Arbitrage?
You have to be able to pronounce your movie if you are going to submit it.
Richard Geary leads an all-star cast in an electrifying thriller about hedge fund magnate whose fortunes turn when a deadly error threatens to destroy both financial empire and his family. It's a 2012 film. And Richard Gere, Susan Sarandon, Tim Roth, and Britt Marling.
And where can we watch that?
You can find this on Hulu.
Hulu!
All right. Well, I had a message from a fan earlier today. One of our listeners, Brock, suggested the movie Blade, the first one.
Mm.
Oh.
Dope.
He wanted to see the movie Blade. And I figured, hey, we're going to throw it in the randomizer. Blade, it's available actually on HBO right now, which.
Great.
No, yeah. You got limited time to get this one.
Yep. We'll see what happens, but it's on HBO. We'll figure out a way to watch it. But thank you, Brock, for the suggestion. Blade is in the randomizer, but it's not going to matter because Daddy Wes is a force feed.
Force feed.
Going ahead, I'm going to force feed one of my earlier suggestions. We're watching The Five Bloods from Spike Lee. It's a Spike Lee joint. This one can be found on Netflix. And the synopsis is 4 African-American veterans return to Vietnam decades after the war to find their squad leader's remains and a stash of buried gold.
That reminds me of City Slickers 2 a little bit.
Hey, it might be. It might be like City Slickers. We'll see. Using my force feed right away. So.
You have the right to. That's your right as an American.
I mean, I'll be burning as soon as I get them. You know, I'm just burning them. Just burning them away. I guess that leaves us nothing but plugs. We'll go plug it up. Let's plug it up, boys. Hey, if you want to follow me, you want to see what I'm watching other shit. Follow me at Nice Marmot, NICEMARM0T. Hey, send us an email. Send us in your requests. Send us in what you want to see. What
hate
you want
mail,
us to
love
watch.
Mail, Gmail.
HealthyStreamPodcast@gmail.com and shoot us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Adrian?
You can find me at Anis Wideshit on Letterboxd. But if you don't want to try to figure out how to spell that, just click the link in the show notes. We also have a link to everything we're saying here and a list of the current randomizer selections. If you want to see what's in that bad boy, Matt,
donate to it. Donate to that motherfucker. Tell us what you guys want us to see and we'll fucking do it. We don't care. We'll watch anything. Ghost to 11, GOESTOELEVEN.
All right, that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us. We love you as always. Good times.
Yes. Say goodbye, Matt. Do it now. Peace. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to go for a fucking cheeseburger right now.
Ooh. I'm going to go for a fucking goat burger. Like a chupacabra. Suck off.
I can go for a goat.
Oh, I want to suck a goat off right now.
Mine looks smaller than your guys.